Okay.
Are you recording that bugger?
It's blinking red.
So.
Be careful with your oxygen there.
No, I wanted that. Okay. So
I didn't touch you.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Well, then something did. In any case, you gotta understand that I was a little sports fanatic. You know, from as far back as I can remember. I was competing. Competing with myself and competing with everybody else. I always wanted to run the fastest, be the strongest. Do the most different things. And I always wanted to make myself stronger. So, for instance, whenever I would be out in the woods doing stuff with all the other kids or on some kind of little outing with the school or whatever, I would push myself to run to the top of the hill first. And or if I wasn't even with anybody else, if I was by myself, I'd push myself to, you know, get the most out of my muscles. I'd go the farthest out on a limb. I'd, you know, do all of that stuff. And I got a great deal of enjoyment about being offering the best, but at least up towards the top in terms of all the little sports games that we did. And I started playing soccer in about fourth grade. And nobody in the United States played soccer except for private schools. I hardly didn't even know what soccer was. But we had soccer and football at Hawken.
You can do it, Dad. Take a bite.
And our coach did not have a clue about soccer. And they gave us these modified football shoes that had those big screw-on cleats. I don't know if you've seen them.
Mm-hmm.
They'll look at them someday. You'll see they're amazing. But they had a rounded boot toe that was very hard leather. Because their whole idea about how you played soccer was you kick the ball with your toe, which is not how anybody in soccer ever plays soccer. It's the worst thing in the world to do to soccer.
Right. Because it's very hard to direct the soccer ball with such a small surface area.
Right. Makes perfect sense, but it didn't make perfect sense to Americans. But once I got into playing soccer, I played football too. I played quarterback, I played running back, I played wide receiver, anything that took a lot of speed and stuff, because I was one of the fastest kids in school. And this was just all part of the same thing. In the summertime, there was no sports at Madison. You know, there were no organized teams. You know, I went to camp at Madison, and sometimes we'd have sports like races and that kind of thing. Or little games like volleyball or tennis or whatever. Not tennis very much. But I had only one friend at Madison, Mike Jackson, and he was also into sports. And so we set up our own little sports arena in the side yard. And we had this gigantic silver maple tree that leaned out over the house. And actually the whole top of it broke off one winter in a storm and plunged itself about 6 feet into the earth.
Wow.
Right in our side yard. But before that happened, Mike Jackson and I dug ourselves a like a sports pit, where we dug up the ground and we raked it, and there's a lot of sand out there anyway, so it was pretty sandy. And then what could you do? We didn't have a racetrack, we didn't have anything like that. So we set up a broad jump pit for some reason. I have no idea why I was interested in broad jump, but it was just something to do. And we had a long, you could run a long way, and then you could have jump room. So we did that, and we put a little, you know, the little boards that they have at the beginning where you're not allowed to step over them.
Right.
And put a little white line on it. Maybe we watched the Olympics one year or something, I don't know. And then we'd have contests, you know, and for maybe hours, we might run and jump and measure how far we went. We did that sort of like with shot put too. And I just remember that building that little sports pit as being something that I remember, and I could do it by myself too. You know, I could go out there and measure my own self, and didn't have to have a bunch of brothers, didn't have to have a bunch of teammates, didn't have to have, you know, it's one of those things you probably get better at doing those things for yourself. You don't have anybody else to play.
Okay.
Yeah. It was good. And I had a good time. Madison was very healthy. Then when my mother stopped us from doing all this, pushed my life in a somewhat different direction.
What happened? Why'd she do that?
I've told you this story and I've got it recorded, but I'll tell it again. I think I was getting to be about 12 years old, maybe. And I was starting to go up to Mike Jackson's house and spend time up at his house. We'd play softball up there. And he invited me to the public beach, which was quite a trip. I had no idea such a place would exist. I thought all the beaches were like my beaches. And my theory is that he had these sisters who were, I can't remember, maybe older, younger, but pretty close to his age. And that my mother started worrying about what relationships I might develop. You know, I mean, the parents start worrying about that age. And his family was working class and it was Roman Catholic. So my mother wanted to put a stop to that.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, well, he can come down here, but I don't want you going up there. They're not our kind of people. And I had to tell him that. And I think after that, I didn't see him. I mean, he probably, fuck you. I don't remember how that developed, but. So then I guess she had found some other friend there through the country club or something who had a kid my age who was, they were from Youngstown. So, you know, when I smile when I say Youngstown, I'm thinking of Bruce Springfield. And I think maybe his dad was a scientist or something. But he was like a very smart genius kind of person who could do all kinds of things.
But he didn't play sports?
He might have played some sports, but no, he was more into
blowing things up.
Mm-hmm. He was more into, actually I probably led him into that. But we played bridge, you know, and we invented things and we went places and we got into scuba diving. Talking about girls, all that kind of stuff. And so my whole life shifted. It was very stimulating, you know. We built a powerboat. Down in Madison, all these people had these boats for water skiing, mostly. And I don't think his family was as well-to-do as the families of these, a lot of people who were at the country club. Because I don't remember any of those kids ever being friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we were down on the country club beach all the time. And there was a beach down where he lived. And it was a spiffy. And so he got this idea that we would build a little motorboat. You know, he would read some of the same kind of magazines I did, like Popular Mechanics and Popular Science. They'd have little diagrams and things inside where, you know, build your own motorboat, blah, blah, blah. And so we did. We got the kit. We bought the kit. And it was very small. You know, I'm talking about a little speedboat. Maybe about 6 feet long, possibly. And it had a frame, and then you stretch this thin but strong plywood over that and fasten it down with glue, I think. And then what you did, you covered it all around the edges and all that with fiberglass tape. And then you'd put all the tape down and cover everything up. And then after that, you'd put down fiberglass resin on the tape. So after doing that for three or four or more times, you had built up a pretty strong, tough frame.
Mm-hmm.
And then all there was to it was to buy this motor, which didn't have to be very big.
Do you want me to help you get the guacatole that's left on your chips?
Are you worried about how I'm doing?
No, I just think when it gets low, it gets a little bit harder.
Yeah, sure.
And it helps when you don't have to hold the plate and you can use two hands.
And we got this little motor and hooked it on there. And
it's a big bite.
And then we took it out to sea.
Mm-hmm.
And we managed to have a few thrills and
impress any girls.
I don't remember.
Must not have been much then.
Well, we weren't down on a beach where there were other people that much.
Uh-huh.
There's one girl who lived on the corner, and was pretty nice. But I think we headed out there one day and managed to get over some waves. You know, the tree's not all that calm. And then we crashed it into the boat pier. That was that.
Last one, at least last one with guacamole. I bet the doggies would like to go on a motorboat.
They'd be freaked out.
Saul took our dogs to West Point on the Eno one time by himself, and they got in the water and he couldn't get them to get out.
Right.
One of the things I think that you're going to have to record for our babies is the history of all your pets.
Well.
But we won't do that one right now.
Okay.
But that sounds like a fun one, huh? Here, I'll take it.